manufacturing went not whole.
Excuse me, Chris. Wait.
Number two.
Chris.
Number three.
They said it would take. No, you're number two.
No.
Chris. They said it would take.
If we go behind the podiums, you can see two green lights. When they're on, they signal to the candidate his microphone is on. When the green lights are off, they signal to the candidate his microphone is off.
Both Trump and Biden have made it very clear they do not want him there on the stage.
He absolutely, in the interest of democracy, should be on the stage.
They don't want Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or any other independent or third-party candidates included, which is kind of incredible considering that RFK Jr. is polling in the double digits.
Now I want to give you a sense of what it will look like for viewers at home if a candidate whose microphone is off interrupts a candidate whose microphone is on. So I'm standing at one podium, and I'll ask Phil to come in and take the other podium. And so let's say I'm answering a question. My light is green, and I'm speaking. Phil's microphone is off, and his green lights are not illuminated. He's going to interrupt me as I'm speaking, and this is what it will sound like. My volume remains constant, while Phil's interruption can be difficult to understand.
I'm excited for the debate. I can't really wait for it. I can't wait for it. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I got to tell you, Trump is going to crush Biden. Crush him. It's going to be... Biden is going to be like... he may even bump into things. That's my prediction. he may bump into things. They're going to lay it on thick. But going into this debate, it's very clear that Biden, you know, in the National Day of Prayer, I covered this. He's the first president ever. The first president ever to not use the word God on the National Day of Prayer. What a meatball, right? Not even a meatball. What a meathead. Meatballs are cool, right? We're all meatball. You get the hat. Meatballs are all right, but meatheads, you don't want to be a meathead. What a meathead. National Day of Prayer, you don't say God. Okay. All right. And you wonder why things are turning out the way they are for the U.S. And then the story's told, of course, you know, you got one who doesn't give a crap about the Lord God. And then you got the other one who's like, we must have the Lord Jesus. He is king in every school. It's a story. It's being played out. I said it was going to happen. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think this is the way it's going. You know, I think this is the way it's going. And Donald Trump, ironically, at 1:22 a.m., and you know me, I'm all into that number stuff. 1:22, Adam, which has to do with Esau and Jacob, the twins. Donald Trump says, I love the Ten Commandments in public schools, private schools, and many other places. He does not like the Department of Education, though. He's going to get rid of it. It's an interesting thing, having this rule. And, you know, even Ten Commandments, I said on my last show, because I talked about this, I said I'm in favor of it. Who's not in favor of having the... I think the Ten Commandments are a good guide. I think that you all should be led by the Spirit of the living God, you know, but I mean, if you had to choose 10 rules to live by, it's good rules. You know, the rest of the law that Moses came up with, I don't know if it was my last show or the show before. Some people were confused when I said that Moses created laws that God didn't want. I wasn't talking about the 10 Commandments. I was talking about other laws like divorce. And Jesus said, he said, out of the hardness of your heart, you know, Moses wrote that law. But with God, this is not the way things are. So you have to understand that eating shrimp may not be a big deal, because in the Old Testament, if you ate shrimp, it was an abomination. If you look at it spiritually, it makes sense. Shrimp is it's a bottom feeder. It just feeds on dead carcasses. So if you're going to, you know, it's kind of like a lowest denominator of a life form, if you look at it that way. But at the time, people were probably getting sick from it, so it probably made some sense. That being said, Ten Commandments, I'm down with. I mean, I'm down with. I think it should be. I think it'll be, you know. Then the argument becomes, well, what about, you know, the Satanic Commandments? What about this commandments? What about that? That's a very good point. You know? It's a very good point. I wouldn't even worry if there were other things in the schools. Let them all be posted. You know? Let them all be posted. It's just as vain in the grand scheme of things, because the Lord is going to drag you to the Lord eventually. You know, God's going to wake people up to where they need to be. And all of these things, they're all big distractions. But it's an interesting distraction and something that I got to tell you, I agree with. I think that if you followed the Ten Commandments, I think you'd be off to a better life. I really do. I really do. You got to tell me if you think that I'm wrong. Now, here's weird. Okay. Yesterday when I was going live, I got the news that Donald Sutherland, he passed away. And, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, the big joke was, oh, if it was only somebody else that sort of looks like him, you know what I mean? So people were getting in their head that idea. They were thinking there's some kind of a connection. And ironically, you know, there sort of is a connection. I don't want to say ironically, I think it kind of, it's like in a sad way, there's a connection. Because you think very much of like President Snow was kind of a really horrible person and he really didn't care. He was like, he'd be the kind of guy, President Snow, in the Hunger Games. If you know the movies, you know, where everything was like a district and, you know, the elites, they lived their own life and they lived very perverse lives and they made things very, very hard for the working class and they, you know, made a mockery of them. The Hunger Games, which, you know, seems to be something that we see playing out in the news. So right before I went live, because I saw Donald Sutherland dies 88 years old, but I saw President Biden, like in my head, metaphorically speaking. So there's a question. A lot of people are like, is he going to pass away? You know, he's not looking too healthy. But there's a question. How does someone like President Biden get through the eye of the needle if he does?
September 10th, Mars hangs closer to the Earth than it has in 6,000 years. Like the light that led men from the east to a child in a manger, it could well be a sign of good things to come. Thomas James shall be his name. The world will change because of him. In the small town of Bethel, in a time not unlike our own, a child with a great purpose is born. Years later, alienated by his peers and abused, Thomas suffers a devastating loss. When it appears he has nothing left to live for in the world, this is when his true calling begins. While trying to escape the sinister powers that be, a terrifying vision haunts him. Miraculous events seem to follow the peculiar young man as he struggles to come to terms with what he was born to do. The stage is set. The time is at hand. The truth will rise and a revolution will begin. The startling revelation of who Thomas James is, truly, will change the lives of those around him and set off a chain of events long ago foretold. There is more to this novel than one might think. Inside these pages hides a treasure just waiting to be discovered. So if you've ever wondered if there's more to life, or why it is we suffer, then this story will not only captivate you, it may just open your eyes to a truth that could set you free. Find out what is in us all that makes us heed the calling